You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Standifer, and as always, I'm your host. And today with me, I have Barry. And Barry's going to be talking to us about the process of taking a business from being small, ran by yourself, and going through the process of taking on employees, hiring employees, and growing that business to be more than just you running and maintaining the business. So, Barry, it's great to have you here with us today. And if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do, and then we can get right into our topic today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
My name is Barry. I'm the CEO of Hanna Home Healthcare. We provide home healthcare services in southeastern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Our office has been located in Muguanago for 33 years.
Awesome. So yeah, he's going to be a great resource to talk to about the process of hiring on employees and different things to consider when you're going, like I said, from being a small business to a business that's in the growth period or continual growth. So the first thing that we should probably touch on is what do you need to do before you start the hiring process? So you're at the point, you've thought it through, you realize there's maybe more work than you're able to do on your own, or you could be more profitable if you're at the point where you could hire on some more employees or some more help. You know, maybe you have had some seasonal help or something where it's not an official employee, maybe like subcontractors or something. So what do you need to do to make sure your business is ready to hire on these employees? Where do you think you should start?
Sure. Well, I would first of all define the positions that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Probably do some market research on how those people are typically compensated. Go through for the best approach to bringing those employees in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you do web advertising?
Yeah.
Is it a sign in the window? So on.
Yeah. And I mean, and nowadays there's so many different websites or resources for hiring people. You know, there's websites like Indeed or Monster or Glassdoor or whatever. And those types of websites can also be great resources to help guide you on maybe what you should be paying these people, because a lot of those websites do have salary models for different employees. And speaking of salary, I mean, one thing you could consider is, you know, salary versus hourly. How are you going to pay your employees? Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things to consider when you're looking at paying your employees and you know, tracking their pay?
Sure. So, you know, first of all, you want to look at how is that position typically compensated?
Okay.
Is it a salary? Is it hourly? What is the ability to directly supervise that person?
Mm-hmm.
And it should it be some other type of compensation to tie that in closer with maybe how the company's reimbursed?
Yeah. Okay.
So things like that.
Yeah. Based on like how your company actually makes its money.
Yes.
Should this person be paid based on production possibly, or just purely based on a flat rate? There's, you know, a lot of things to consider that's obviously going to change depending on what field you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, another major area in hiring someone and offering someone employment is the benefits of that position. So what are some of the major benefits to consider when you're offering someone employment?
Sure. Yeah, I think you have your standards like health insurance. There's retirement plans, 401ks, things like that. Vacation time is also an important one.
Yeah.
You know, how do you handle that?
Yeah, different paid time off offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are all very important, and most people looking for a full-time job want one, if not all, of those things. So it's a good thing to have that ready beforehand to help make your offering more enticing. And another thing to consider when you're looking at adding on to the people working at your business is, are you going to have to make any changes to your insurance policy at the business? Can you talk to us a little bit of areas you might have to amend or work with your insurance agent to see about changing your current insurance coverings?
Sure. You know, when you bring on employees, they have stuff, they have insurances about employment practices. You know, somebody might misinterpret something and try to bring a lawsuit on you for something. Mm-hmm. So then insurance companies will offer coverages for that.
Yeah.
There's coverage for the directors and the officers for decisions that they make relative to employment practices.
Okay.
I think the big one is the workers' compensation.
Mm-hmm.
That's required. It always is relative to your what they call the experience modifier.
Okay.
So as long as you have good practices with workers' compensation or with worker safety, I'll mm-hmm. put it that way, and you don't have a lot of injuries on your history, then your modifier is typically one.
Okay.
And as you have more and more claims, then that modifier goes up. And I'm not sure if there's a ceiling on it.
I guess it depends on if people are getting hurt a lot. Workers' compensation is, in case you don't know, if someone gets injured working or operating for your business and they get injured at work, you are liable as the business to pay for certain medical expenses, yes, depending on the situation. I know there's a couple other areas too. I know there's more insurance areas if you want to touch on.
Sure.
Like liability and unemployment, which I know unemployment's a little different, but.
Yeah, so liability insurance, my thought would be is if you're in business, you have that already.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want some additional coverages for not being the only person.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to increase your policy based on the number of employees that you have, that type of thing.
Yeah, and there are some weird small factors too, and this might be getting a little too granular. If you own the parking lot where everyone's cars are, right, and something happens in the parking lot and multiple employees' cars get, things like that maybe aren't super applicable to every situation, but it's something to consider. Let's talk a little bit about like I said, unemployment and unemployment insurance and what that is and how that works. I know that's a little more tied in with taxes than it is necessarily like a business insurance policy. Can you talk to us a little bit about unemployment and how that looks like as the business owner?
Sure. Yeah, it is a tax, and there's a federal and a state tax for unemployment. The federal one, if I'm remembering correctly, that's just a straight rate. There's no like pool of money that the company has to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
At the state level, there is a pool of money, and then your contribution rate is relative to how much you have in that pool. And I believe that the base amount for Wisconsin is $15,000, if I remember correctly. It's either $14,000 or $15,000.
Yeah, and I think it depends on the size of your business,
yes,
and how many full-time employees, mm-hmm, you have. That it dictates how much you need to maintain and pay into that, and that's all ran by the Department of Workforce Development, I know. So they would be the resource to work through for that.
And then as people utilize your unemployment, mm-hmm, then that drops your basically your deposited amount.
Mm-hmm. And then you're required to build that back,
yes,
up. Yeah. A lot of things to consider before you even take on employees to make sure that you kind of have ready so that when you take on employees, you have everything in place properly so you're not making mistakes or having something happen and trying to deal with it after the fact. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the case on pretty much everything we talk about, is having things ready beforehand so that if things do happen or things go wrong, it's easier to take care of because you have the appropriate systems in place or you've prepared for it, rather than trying to deal with it after the fact. Like you were saying, if considering having the right insurances for officers or directors, if something happened, unfortunately, at your institution that one of your directors or officers did while working under your business, it's important to have that type of insurance, because if you don't, then you could be liable, or the whole business could be liable, for a larger amount or for a mistake that they made or something that they did that you didn't necessarily approve. You weren't necessarily involved in as the business owner or operator, but they're still operating with your name, your business name, making it look like, that the business is doing these things when it could be, just decisions that they've made. But having those types of things implemented beforehand can help alleviate potential issues that could end up closing your business if,
yes,
you're not ready for it. And that's what a lot of this stuff is making sure that you have the proper checks and balances and safety nets in place so that, A, you're following the law and not doing anything illegal, and B, yeah, protecting yourself and your business financially so that if something does go wrong, you're not totally gone belly up and have to close the business. Mm-hmm. So then the next step we're going to look at is, okay, now you're ready to hire an employee. You're going to start doing interviews. What do you need from that new incoming employee? What kind of stuff do you need to collect and turn in, whether to the government or to maintain for your own records? What kind of stuff do you need when you're actually going to – when you have the person you're going to hire?
Sure. So there's hiring reporting requirements. Mm-hmm. So the state of Wisconsin requires employers to report all new hires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a process that you can set up through DWD,
I believe. Yeah, I believe that's a DWD as well.
And then, you know, there's the I-9 employment verification process.
And that's making sure their social security number or if they have a work visa or
yes.
what their identity is and all confirmation of all of that.
Yes. And that's a federal, if I remember, that's federal level. You'll need a W-4 from them stating, you know, their tax status and their deductions and things like that. Because you'll have to include that in your payroll calculations. The requirements, there's several required postings that you have to maintain for people to see and review, such as, just off the top of my head, there's the minimum wage poster. I'm sure everyone's seen this at the places they've worked.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, the minimum wage poster. I believe it's, OSHA, there's an OSHA poster.
Yeah, it depends
poster.
If you're an OSHA-regulated facility or if there's other specific state or federal level safety guidelines for where you're working. Like if you work in a kitchen, they have to have postings about, I believe, like the age limits for different equipment or, you know, if you're going to use knives or things like that.
Yes.
But yeah, those are in some sort of common area typically where any employee can reasonably see them.
And I do know there's companies that you can go to and they're not terribly expensive that they basically, it's one poster that mm-hmm. covers everything. So.
Yeah, so you don't need to custom make it necessarily. They all, since it is regulated, there's a way to just order one that'll say pretty much everything that you need to have posted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when you are hiring your new employees, what kind of information do you need to be regularly reporting or letting the IRS or federal government or state government or state department of revenue, those types of entities, what do you need to be reporting to them regarding your employees and maybe what they're starting to get paid now?
Sure. So in that capacity, that would be on a payroll basis. You know, you're going to be with from their when you're running the checks, you're going to be withholding federal and state tax, as well as their portion of Medicare and Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Medicare and Social Security, there's on top of that, there's the employer's contribution, mm-hmm. which typically is equal to the employee. So it's kind of a 50-50 amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you would provide those, and it's that's dependent on your payroll size is how often you have to do that. Some companies are within 3 days of payroll. Other companies are monthly. It just depends on how large your payrolls are, typically is how they do that. And then you report those withholdings as a bulk number, a gross number on your total payroll. And then you also will submit your deposits for those, which need to be done timely or there are pretty significant fines that they will hit you for that. At the state level, it's the same pretty much process. That's typically one number, your state withholding. Mm-hmm. You have your two types of unemployment that is the employer's responsibility. That is the federal and the state. It's FUTA and SUTA for the unemployment taxes. And those are for our company's size, I believe we do that quarterly and that's filed quarterly if I remember correctly. And then at the year's end, you need to provide all your employees with a W-2, which I'm sure everyone has received one before. And but also that is submitted to the federal government, and they have copies of all those W-2s with annually.
And there are certain guidelines where you're required to get those to your employees as well to make sure that they can start filing their taxes in a timely manner. And
I believe that's January 31st, if I remember correctly, that they have to have those.
I believe so, yeah. And the something to keep in mind is, depending on how you run your payroll or if you use digital time clocks, there's going to be a lot of different factors that contribute to how these things get filed, these different forms, these different taxes. Thankfully, a lot of payroll systems, like if you use a digital payroll system, you know, some of the big ones, ADP, I know Square has their own payroll system too, that a lot of smaller businesses use. They can handle a lot of this stuff for you. You typically are operating under an EIN, which is a federally issued tax identification number for your business, and that's associated with all your payroll taxes, all of the any fees you might have to be paying, any unemployment taxes, things like that. And thankfully, if you do have a more automated payroll system where people are clocking in and out digitally, and you're submitting time cards digitally, and you're paying people with direct deposit, or you know it's printing a check and mailing it to them, or whatever it may be, a lot of these payroll systems will thankfully do that filing for you. Now, it's important to keep track of it and double check it and make sure things seem accurate, and especially if you have an internal accountant or a business accountant that you use that can check these things for you. But it is kind of one of the benefits of some of our more modern technology to have some of that calculation done automatically by companies that are aware of what the laws are and heavily regulated themselves. So they're pretty reliable for that. But again, you should always be double checking and looking at the numbers to make sure that they make sense to what they should be as well. And then kind of going back to what we were talking about before. So you've got, we had talked about finding health insurance, vacation plans, retirement plans, you know, different normal benefits that customers may or not customers that employees may want or be typically offered for full-time employees. So let's just talk about health insurance. First of all, how do you as an employer typically go about finding a health insurance plan and deciding how to implement it, how much the employees are going to be charged, things like that? What does that process look like for you as the employer?
Sure. I would say, first of all, probably the best bet would be to find a insurance agent that specializes in employer health insurance. They're going to be aware of all those rules. Many times, at least the agency that we deal with, they provide us every year, our current policy and company, and then we usually have, you know, depending, 5 or 6 other options on health insurance.
Gotcha.
So then we evaluate, okay, like this year's a perfect example for our company. Our health insurance premium went up, I believe, 13% overall.
Yeah.
And so the agent provided us other options. There was a policy with the same company that was the same baseline that we were at. But we made the decision that there was a lot of things in that policy that we didn't like. It was a lot more restrictive.
Sure.
So, after speaking with leadership in our company, we determined that, it's 13%, but we're going to stay where we're at for this year. So they will help you walk through those requirements, options on other companies that you could utilize. They can also provide you feedback on, what's the going percentage employer to employee for health insurance. They can give you a lot of positive feedback with that.
So, like, are you charging your employees an appropriate amount per pay period or however often they're getting charged for their insurance? And make sure, like you said, that you were saying before, that you're in a correct area for your market or the type of employees that you have.
So so your company's only charging the employees 5% and everybody else is charging them 85%.
Sure.
Then I still want to do that, or whoa, I didn't realize it was that off, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So it provides you with a lot of feedback as far as costs for the company, costs for the employees, you know, just general feel in the health insurance industry. You're not out there on an island, and they can give you a lot of information that you probably wouldn't be able to get.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Yeah, because there's just so many companies, so many factors to consider that, mm-hmm. yeah, if you're running a business, it's kind of hard for you to be the one to do all of that. So in the same vein, you know, talking about retirement plans or investment plans, how do you go about deciding, you know, who you're going to partner with or who you guys are going to have manage your retirement funds or you know, how much are you going to contribute as a company? I know that's probably more an internal decision, but yeah, tell me about a little bit about what that process is like.
So with retirement plans, I would kind of probably sound like I'm repeating myself with the health insurance, but it's real similar where you have, you know, financial advisors that will then team you up with larger organizations that specialize in managing the 401k would be the primary one that you hear of all the time. And so you'll have an advisor, and then you'll pair up with another company of some kind that will like literally manage the 401k. Mm-hmm.
The actual funds management company. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's nice that, you know, those things seem pretty daunting, but there are good experts out there that you can talk to get the referrals for the types of stuff your business is going to need. And thankfully that, you know, shouldn't be a weight on your shoulders to have to sift through everything and decide how it all works. And yeah, like I mentioned, it's probably going to be up to you as an individual business owner or board of directors or whatever you may have at your business to decide how much you want to contribute to someone's 401k, you know, if you're going to be matching, with a health insurance plan, if you're going to be giving towards someone's HSA, if you have high deductible options. So there are some things that are going to be internal decisions for you to decide what you want to do. And the different experts, the insurance agent and financial advisor, can kind of help you know what might be more of an appealing offer or maybe less than appealing compared to what's going on in the industry at large. So to help you kind of land in a spot that's good for your business and appealing enough for your employees to be satisfied as well. Another thing that you'll have to consider once you have employees is HR. Some sort of method for employees to be able to voice concerns. If there's something wrong going on, that they can speak to someone or figure out a way for conflict resolution. And obviously, this is going to be another one that depends on the exact size of your business. But when should you start considering having an HR department or some sort of HR process for employees to be able to work through?
Sure. I would say as far as when to have someone, they may not even need to be full time, but you can delegate someone that to handle the HR items that you need handled. And so they're aware of what's going on and can track that for you, whether it's, you know, 5 hours a month that they spend on it or a couple hours a month, or it's a full time position. That would depend on, you know, obviously, probably the level of employees that you have, the number of employees that you have, And there are also, I don't want to call them consultants, but firms that specialize.
Third-party
firms that will operate as your HR department. So you can hire them, and they'll charge you based on the number of employees you have or the number of hours that they put into your HR needs. So that's another option that you can use. But I would lean towards sooner than later, you need someone who knows the items that need to be handled on an annual and monthly, daily basis with employee relations.
Yeah. And again, that's one of those things where it's better to get ready earlier to deal with issues and get out ahead of them before they happen, if they ever happen, rather than have issues occur and then not be ready, not have any sort of regular policies or HR proceedings that happen on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But with that, we've kind of touched on a bunch of different areas, and we've jumped around a little bit, but there's a bunch of different areas to talk about when you're looking at adding on employees. Is there anything else that you think people should consider when they are looking to grow their business or grow their employee base? Just anything maybe we didn't touch on, or anything further you wanted to touch on the other areas we talked about?
I think the main key fact is there's a lot that revolves around having employees, mm-hmm. other than it just being yourself out there starting the company. So you need to educate yourself on what those are and understand the needs and the requirements of having employees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rules.
Yep. Yeah, and I would say important thing to consider when you are looking at growing your business at all in general is surrounding yourself with experts in different fields. When we had Ryan Lilly on about a year ago at this point, I believe, talking about starting a business, he emphasized the importance for a business owner to have an attorney that they trust, an accountant that they trust, a banker that they trust, and as you mentioned, also an insurance agent and investment agent that you can trust as well to help you. They're going to have some costs to your businesses, but they're going to make it so you have to know a lot less personally up front, and yes. They can lend you their expertise and help you, especially when you're getting into the realms of being another person's boss, because there's a lot that goes in legally to that, and what you need to be doing, what you need to be filing, how you need to be treating them, how you need to be tracking their hours they work. There's a lot of different areas to consider, and you can't expect to be an expert on all of them, especially when you're just starting out doing it. So having those different, not being afraid to reach out to experts in different fields, working, like I said, with an attorney or with a business accountant, a banker, depending on what you're looking for and the information that you need. Do you have anything else you want to mention before we wrap up here today?
I don't believe so.
Well, thank you for coming on and lending your expertise with us, and just talking about what it's like to have employees, because it may not be something that a lot of people are going to do in their life, but it is also interesting as someone who is not a business owner to hear what that process is. There's a lot of things you don't think about. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the employer is paying for things like Medicare and Social Security on your pay on top of what you're paying. There's different aspects to it that, they don't, not everyone knows how they work. So it's kind of cool to just even find out how all of that stuff works. But we thank you again for coming in, Barry, and we thank you all for watching and listening. And if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes or any feedback, you can send them to me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's HEYTIMMY @amindformoney.com. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.